Hendry Show, and all of the voices that you'll hear on this program today are done by Phil.
Yes, with the exception of some minor editing that we do at the end of the program to help with our production.
The entire show is done without any trickery or any magic tricks or anything.
Oh, magic trick, man.
Well, we don't use any magic or anything.
Don't use any overdubbing.
Yeah, that's it. We don't use any overdubbing. We don't use double dubbing and stuff like that.
Oh, multi-tracking. Yeah, that's it. And the whole thing is done in real time as it's happening. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the world famous Philip Show. Thank you. All right, guys, welcome. Phil Hendry here. Those of you that are watching Phil TV in HD, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, and you can see we're using a new camera angle. This is the over-the-shoulder shot here.
Now, why are you doing this?
Well, it gives people a look at the board. They can see the broadcast console. They can see the...
Well, it's a lot of very technical stuff. I don't know that people know what they're looking at, you know?
Well, I mean... You'd have to be pretty dumb not to know.
But look at all of the lights that are flashing.
What about it?
What do you mean, what about it?
Margaret, I think that it's interesting. Even if it is just flashing lights, people are...
Well, Phil, I think you're treating your audience like they're mesmerized clowns. You know, that they're just sitting there going, ooh, look at the pretty lights. And that's not really what it's about, right?
Margaret, I don't think it shows any disrespect.
Margaret, it's not like this, you know, when you go down at Christmas time...
When I go down at Christmas time, what?
I'm not saying anything dirty.
Margaret, listen, are you talking about Christmas lights?
Yes, when you see the Christmas lights, you're not going to say, well, gee, how were those made? You know.
No, I don't think it's the same thing.
Margaret, I'm not showing any disrespect to the audience by having them look at all the pretty lights on the board. It's just an interesting look at how we do the show. They may not understand. I barely understand all the stuff that I'm looking at.
Well, then how could you possibly... See, that's what I'm saying. I won't belabor the point, all right?
Yeah, let's move on. God.
I'll move on when I'm good and ready. Thank you so very deeply.
Well, I mean, we're burning daylight, pulling on it and everything, sitting here whittling dick.
Whittling dick, huh?
Dick!
Come on. Now, Bud, what is it with you in that language?
That's all we're doing is whittling dick and paddling it. And
yeah, we're paddling putt here.
Hey, man, watch it.
See, this is the dirt and the filth that is jammed into my ears every morning. I come in here, ladies and gentlemen, I am fully ready to do just a wonderful show. And Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard just take handfuls of dirt, filth, and obscenity and cram it into my ears like it's mud.
So that's what's in your ears.
All right, okay. So that is what that is. I don't even know what the hell it was we were talking about.
See, that's the problem. We start this program. Nobody knows. I don't know what day it is after about 3 minutes. I come in here confident. I feel good. I feel strong. And I think I'm fully aware of what's happening. Within 3 minutes, I feel like I'm a man who's been injected with the LDS or what? That's the Lysergic Latter-day Saints. You know,
what do you mean the Lysergic Latter-day Saints?
Talking about LSD?
Yeah, right there, the LSD. Phil was just discussing that.
Well, yes, Phil was discussing LSD before the program.
Yeah, I was, and that's not what... It's got nothing to do with... Take it easy, General, okay? Just take it easy.
I'm taking it easy. I'm just telling you, every time I walk in here, I feel like someone's dosed me with just a handful of mescaline. And I'm here going, God, help me. And 5 minutes ago, I felt healthy, happy... Proper bowel movements. I was regular.
All right.
Thank you very much for that information. Thank you very much for bringing... I was bringing up the LSD thing only because I'm reading a book right now, which, by the way, sort of ties in with why Bobby Dooley's going to be on the show today to talk to you about the quote that you used from the same book.
Well, no. It is an original quote to me. I did not know that it was in that... I didn't remember that it was in that book.
Yeah, but it was still in the book.
Bud, just take it easy before something happens that you won't believe it's happening even as it's happening.
All right, so what happened was in this book that I'm reading... they bring up the a guy by the name of Tim Sully, who was the brains behind a kind of LSD that was, available during a particular summer back years ago. It was called Orange Sunshine Acid. Acid. And
What would you call it, LSD?
I don't know. I don't think you could call it LSD, you know?
Why not?
Because it was not. It was a bunch of stuff. By that point, I don't think pure LSD was being sold. But anyway, The guy was in the book, and he was...
Well, we gotta tell people what the book is.
Well, all right. It's a book called Wayward Angel. It's a book written by an angel, a Hell's Angel, who had been who'd gone state's evidence and went into witness protection. He was talking about dealing acid in the 1960s.
Now, what has this got to do with anything?
Yes, well, that's, that, the reason why I mentioned this is, what does this have to do with anything? Are you just trying to show your street cred or what?
No, I was talking to you before the show. You brought this up, okay?
All right, Phil, don't get...
I'm trying to show my street cred. You brought it up. I didn't bring it up. You. Let the record show you.
All right, Phil. But, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see Phil. He's pointing his finger going, you. Pointing your finger like some twisted Roland Freisler at Hitler's People's Court. Just you. Das ist, you know, what did he say to that man? Murder? You filthy scum. You know?
Boy, Margaret, what do you memorize that?
I watch it all the time. There's something that's, well, I shouldn't say it. Something alluring about it.
All right, well, thanks for that, because I don't want to hear any more about your sexual,
I didn't say sexual, did I?
Well, you almost did it. You almost minimated it.
Minimated it? I ought to kick your ass just for looking at it.
Come on, will you? I got a whole show that I got to do here.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting for.
And before we launch into any of that, let's go to Bob Bacon, who has got the traffic out there, Bob.
All right, Phil, right now we've had a cat bat, that we've found out that we got a cat bat. There's a little man ingrained, and so if you are ingrained in a little man this morning, you're going to want to get buy wide, and buy big. Buy wide or buy thin, but make sure you buy. Okay, if you're going around there, you've got to take it all in and root and get the shit key. I got a group, and but it's probably going to be locked off for about 15 minutes up there as you cruise out down the strap end. Over here on the five side of the freeway, we see about a little jam up there on the bing, and there's a little bing, ding. I think it's on the bing, that it? Bing, Bing, Ding Expressway, and there's Big Man Little Man is over there as well. All right, Phil, and coming out of Santa Barbara this morning is going to be very, very slow going as you drive out. And boy, you get to Shine Down, you're going to get a Shine Man as you're grinning, and just because they call me Shine. This is Bob Bacon, and we got the traffic for you. And don't forget, of course, Phil Henry, the...
To be all right?
Probably not. Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray now.
Yes, this is for Donald Trump, who'll be debating Carly Fioronia. You don't own me. I'm not just one of your little things. Yeah, that's right, Trump. You don't own me or Carly. I don't care how rich you think you are or you were. And don't tell me who to, you know, to.
Don't you know the lyrics again?
Excuse me for just a minute. Put it on pause, please. Lawyer. Put it on pause. What was that?
I mean, you don't...
General, I am doing improvisational lyrics for Christ Almighty. No, I've been explaining this for literally months. Let's go again. Thank you.
Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen, with the song You Don't Own Me.
Yes, for Donald Trump, who'll be debating Carly Fioronia. You don't own me. You think you're really a big shot. La-dee-dee-dee.
Do you know the lyrics?
Fuck.
All right. Hold on.
No. I've got it. But what I'm doing...
Yes. We know about the improvisational lyrics. We just didn't know that's what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, Miss Blair, it's obvious that you're going to do that now, but we didn't know.
Well, have you numbskulls figured it out? Have you?
Yes, and I don't like being called a numbskull.
Yeah, we figured it out. I think that it takes everybody by surprise, Margaret. You know.
Well, I want everyone to get into the spirit of this, all right? Because Carly Fioronia, or whatever am I pronouncing that properly?
I have no idea. I think it's Carly Fiorona. I believe that's what it is.
That's what I said.
No, you said Fioronioni, or something like that.
No, I didn't say Fioronioni. No, I did not do that. No.
Well, you did something similar.
All right, so anyway...
Anyway, this is a song dedicated to Donald Trump, who I guess thinks that when he gets up in the morning and goes into the bathroom, and I don't mean to be indelicate, and he does his business, he leaves the bathroom smelling like an orchard of gardenias, when in point of fact, it probably smells like something that is can best be described as a nightmare for the nose. In other words, if your nose dreamt and had nightmares, it would be filled with the stink of Donald Trump's...
bowel movements.
Yes. Thank you, Phil. Oh, you you don't own me. Your name is Donald Trump. Big wow. La da da da.
Lyrics changed.
I.
Just keep going, please.
God damn it. Tell it what to do. Don't tell her what to do. And please, when I go out with you, don't tell him what to do. Because you don't bone. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Yeah, I knew you'd do that.
Turn it off. I'm gonna kick your.
Hey, wait.
He put that in my head, Phil.
Wow. I just sidestepped that, but I think I felt it on the left nut.
Yeah, it looked like she got you there.
You better believe it.
No, wait, hold on.
He put that in my head before the show. You don't bone me, and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. This is a very, very important debate. It is a very important debate for Carly. I know she's a Republican, and I don't share her philosophical beliefs or her political beliefs. In fact, they are anathema to me. They revolt me. They sicken me. Her Republicanism and her membership in the Republican Party makes me want to regurgitate endlessly a long liquid stream of liver bile, only interrupted briefly by little chunks of bread and cheese.
All right, Margaret, we got it.
Sorry. But as a woman, I just love her so. As a woman, I think she's just all that and a bag of fries. Hey, you don't own me. I'm not one of your little whores. You don't own me. If you did, you'd produce a bill of sale.
Yeah, all right.
And don't tell me where to go. Don't tell me what to wear. Don't tell me where to, who to talk. Don't. Oh, here they are.
Don't tell you what you on display.
Yes, on, because you don't.
Bone me.
You fucked.
Hey!
Rick. Boy, what a gutless wonder you are, bud.
Missed me, you missed me. Ho, ho, you missed me. Yeah. Shit, how'd you do that?
She's got a slingshot.
I brought it from home. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me where you are. Don't tell me your phone number. And please, please, oh, God, please just stop talking. I don't tell you where to go.
Tell you who to blow.
Who to blow?
All right, bud, get out of here.
I swear to God.
You missed me. That's both testicles.
That's right. You know, I got real good with this slingshot.
You don't. Oh, man, that hurts.
I'm not going to be hitting him anymore, Phil. I got real good with the slingshot.
Margaret Gray and You Don't Own Me.
I'm not done yet. And don't tell me where to go.
Gray and You Don't Own Me. We'll be right back here to world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Thank you, Margaret. A very, very lovely, 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 lovely damn song indeed. Be right back.
Soldier Boy, tell me.
Don't forget that the Podfest is coming up on Saturday. Phil Henry will be there. If you're a fan of Phil Henry, or if you just like to go out and see how weird he looks when he does all this bullshit, make sure you're at the L.A. Podfest this weekend. Yes, the L.A. Podfest Festival. Oh, man, it's going to be... Jesus. Yeah, the L.A. Podfest is the L.A. Podcast Festival. It's going to have all the cool and groovy podcasts. Mark Maron's going to be there. I'm sure Adam Carolla's going to be there. And I'm going to be there, okay? And we all do different things. You can love them and love me too. See, there's plenty of room for everyone. We can all get well in today's economy. So come on out to the LA Podcast Festival, the LA Podfest, this weekend, and make sure that you use the coupon code Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, if you are not coming out to see it and you're going to stay home and watch it online, and you can watch it streaming live online. Make sure you use your coupon code Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, to check it out. You know.
Yes, it's the LA Podfest, the LA Podcast Festival, this weekend at the Sofitel Hotel in Beverly Hills.
Is that where it is? My understanding, yes.
Wow, man. Bet you. All right. by... Oh, God, I hate this goddamn song. Who put this song on?
It's a bitchin' song. It's Soulja Boy and everything.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, folks, as we continue on with our festivities here this morning, we mentioned that... thank you again, Margaret, for that song.
Well, you know something? One of these days, I'd like to sing a song that I'm allowed to finish, and I don't have Dickman or some of these others. Some of the others, not you necessarily, Robert, or you, General, but some of the others that come wandering in and go, ooh, because they're embarrassed by professional and polished performance. And... that, I feel, is what I deliver. That is what I feel I give to you, Woo.
Well.
And that is what I feel you should respect. I'm Margaret Gray. Thank you.
All right. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods is weighing in on the recent debate that has erupted over the use of public beach as opposed to private beach. Is there such a thing as private beach? I think this is an interesting conversation for anybody who sort of follows these kinds of discussions, whether or not you live near the ocean, whether or not you find yourself from time to time going to the beach. I can well imagine, I'm sure you agree, it would be nice to know who owns the beach. Now, in California, it's always been my understanding, and Bob is joining us from his car phone in right now in the Valley on his way to a meeting in the Valley. Where are you going, Bob? Over to Helms?
We're going to be going to the sports banquet here, and I just wanted to get a lay of the land. I'm not going to be going to the sports banquet this week.
Is that the Helms banquet?
I don't know if it's the Helms banquet, but I'm looking at the Helms building because I do know that they had the they used to have the Helms banquet.
Okay, so you just came up the cul. Is that where the banquet's going to be?
Well, no, ours is going to be in Orange County, but I drove up here just to cruise around the Helms Bakery and...
Okay, I don't think they have it anymore.
I don't either, but I thought I'd come up here and cruise around the bakery to see what it looks like, that's all. So I'm very, very sorry to have this kind of attitude, but I'm very upset with, I think, the position your program has taken on the private beach issue. As you know, Phil, the people that are living along the sand there in Malibu are some of the biggest names in entertainment, some of the top stars from stage, screen, and television, own their beach houses there. Now, they not only have their beach houses, they also have their homes in the interior, let's say Beverly Hills and so forth and so on, but they also like to retreat to their weekend beach house. And these are some of the top stars in film and television.
All right, so some of the top stars, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Bob, but what has that got to do with anything?
Well, General, when you're talking about the biggest names in entertainment, and they are here in the Los Angeles area, you're talking about some of the top stars.
Look, I know a lot of these top stars.
Excuse me, Ms. Gray. I understand that you have a career where you, I suppose, inhabit the edges of a celebrity.
No, I don't inhabit the edge of anything. I am how dare you? I'm an entertainment writer.
Ms. Gray, I don't want to get into an argument with you. I want to finish what I have to say.
Please let Mr. Greene finish, and then we can all jump in and...
Yes, but I don't want the opinion given that I'm some kind of, as you put it, Phil, a finger sniffer standing on the edge of celebrity, scratching myself and waiting... Never mind.
Well, you're not just...
It's great. No one believes that you're on the edge, standing there waiting around everything. But you do have to wait around, don't you?
I don't wait for... Yes, I have to wait for the... I'm not going to answer these questions.
All right, well, if it's embarrassing for... Ms. Gray, look, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm saying that you have to stand like all the other schlubs, and I don't mean you're a schlub, but you got to stand there and wait for the star to say, okay, you, I'll talk to you.
No star looks at me and says, okay, you... They generally say, Margaret, how are you? I'm so happy to be interviewed by you. Please come sit down. Would you like something to drink?
All right, whatever you say.
Are you calling me a liar?
Margaret, let's get off this very, very petty stuff. I want to get to this discussion that's very important.
I understand it's important, but I don't want the impression given that I'm standing on the edge of celebrity or I'm standing outside of some roped area, scratching my you-know-what, sniffing my...
Well, you're scratching and sniffing your finger. I don't think, a lot of people do that.
Well, I don't do that.
All right, so you don't do it. But a lot of people do. Let's put it that way, Margaret. You're the only one that doesn't. But all these other guys that are writing for all of these newspapers and magazines, all of these other guys that are writing for the, National Enquirer and this garbage, they're standing on the edge of the roped-off area waiting for the celebrity to come out of their home some of the biggest stars in stage, screen, and in the movies. And
that's the same thing as said the stage, screen, and in the movie.
Say that again?
That's the same thing.
You said stage, screen, and in the movies. You mean stage, screen?
Stage, screen, and...
And television.
No, I wasn't thinking of television. Well, I guess it would be, but it's stage, screen...
And television.
No. Stage, screen, and...
Video games.
What?
Okay, Bob, we're wasting a lot of time. Let me ask you this question.
All right, so, but I was... the biggest names in Hollywood.
Right, yes, the biggest names in Hollywood. Some of them live in Malibu.
I would say not some. I'd say most have beach houses there, and they need privacy.
All right, so let's talk about this privacy thing and how it runs up against the reality of the law.
Well, the laws, Phil, are flexible.
No, Bob. And look, I don't want to debate this. Let's just hold on for a minute. And then we can talk about differences of opinion. There are people that are on the beach there in Malibu, and apparently they are in front of the homes of some of these stars, as you say.
Well, yes, they're sitting there on the sand directly in front of the home of a big Hollywood star who wants to come out of his house or her house, have a cup of coffee, and suddenly this individual turns around and stares at them, and it's frightening, and they're looking at a guy who's... they don't know who he is or what he is, and there he is standing not a few feet from individuals that pay a lot of money to get away from, and I don't mean get away from their fans, but they got to get away from that. You know, they need the relaxation.
Why do you care, Mr. Green? You're a grocer.
Say that again, please. I was bending down to tie my shoe.
What? You didn't like what he said.
No, I didn't like what he said. You say, why do I believe that, Mr. Green? I'm a grocer. I am the CEO.
Yeah, well, that's what you are. You're a grocery clerk. All right? You're a grocery clerk. And you've been sent to collect a bill. And
all right, you can quote Apocalypse Now all you want, General, because after all, you lived it. And
I resent that. What do you mean I lived it?
Weren't you in Vietnam?
I was in Vietnam following orders like a soldier. I wasn't some maniac in the Martin, what is the guy, Franklin Scorsese?
No, the man's name is, please have respect, his name is Frank, what was his name, Phil?
Yeah, let's have some respect. Francis Ford Coppola?
Who?
Francis Ford, Jesus.
I thought the guy that made, what is it called, Apocalypse Now? I thought that was Martin Coppola or...
It's Francis Ford Coppola. Martin Scorsese is not the guy. All right, we're talking with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. He is the CEO of Fraser Foods. It's a good question, Bob. Why have you jumped into this fight?
I've jumped into this fight, Phil, simply because I'm a property owner as well. I don't own a property in Malibu. I do own property at Newport Beach. Some of my neighbors are some of the biggest stars in stage, screen, and entertainment. And
Bob, you keep repeating that, and we get that already.
Well, I'm sorry if it rubs you the right bits. Kind of under your skin because you don't get to live next door to them, and I do.
No, Bob, I could care less, all right? Frank and I have a very comfortable home. We entertain a lot of the same people you're talking about in our home every weekend. So please don't make it sound as if you have some privileged status and Frank and I are over there in our hovel. We're living by the sea in a shed like the principal in the song Devil Woman. You know, as Mary is running to me on the shoreline, she's in our shack by the sea. I don't live in Sugar Shack, all right? I live in a beautiful 6,000-square-foot home. I'm not in Sugar Shack hiking my skirt. Forget it.
Well, that was a nice little speech. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're talking about the fact that you live in Newport Beach, right?
I do, and I live next door to... I'll give you an example. Up until about 2 years ago, Dennis Rodman, okay, lived right down the street from me.
Wow, that's...
Oh, yeah. You're telling me that you live...
Okay, Bob, this is getting a little silly. So I'm going to go ahead and take it on faith that you've lived next door to some of the biggest names in Hollywood. Now, Margaret, and I believe that you have entertained some of the big names. I think you guys are getting into a whole thing here.
You guys are talking about how... Who knows who? I mean, I believe you know people. That's fine. Let's get to the point here.
I'm trying to get to the point, but Margaret keeps interrupting me and saying, well, you know, you're talking about these people, who do you know? And
I haven't said anything. I'm simply trying to get past all of your obsession with celebrity.
I'm not obsessed with celebrity, okay? I see some of them come into my store. Joey Bishop came in, God rest his soul, when Bowie Bishop...
Joey Bishop.
When Joey Bishop was alive, God rest his soul, he came into my store all the time. He cracked jokes. He did bits. He did routines. Fantastic. I was conversant with him. He was a wonderful man. And he would come in and, he'd do bits and routines with the box boys. He'd cut up with the girls working in the deli. He'd go behind the counter and start doing comedy bits with the lunch meat. And I'll tell you, Phil.
No, that's great. And I'm sure that there are many people there.
All right, so you're rushing me along, huh?
Yes, we want to get to this whole discussion, Bob, about the beach.
Your voice sounds very rough. You went, I think I heard Phil mention once.
Okay, let me do all of that. So I'll correct her and tell her to go and gargle. Margaret doesn't like the word gargle.
I understand that. So what are you, Margaret, I'm just trying to tell you.
Don't tell me about my throat or I will start talking to you about how you sound like a guy that had both of them clipped off one night by a very angry woman, angry that she went ahead and sold out for the money, whatever kind of money you've got, and married a guy that's 5'2".
Shit. Yeah, and balding.
Oh, wow.
All right, everybody on hold. I'm going to ask you, Margaret, to please help me here.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying help me, all right? Help me move this along and quit getting into it with him. You guys do this every damn time. Now, why do we have the gate on that goddamn microphone, bud?
Sorry.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Listening to the world famous Phil. I'm very sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but I am very, very upset with this screen. And where does he get off? He's a grocery clerk. He comes home smelling like celery and onion, and he's trying to tell me all about the big.
Yeah, whatever. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'll do it. The world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Now, folks, don't forget, along with our PodFest appearance at the LA Podcast Festival on Saturday, of course, Saturday is also our BSP-only show, and generally that is a repeat, or I shouldn't say a repeat, generally that is a presentation of our previous night's chat. So if you are a Backstage Pass holder and you happen to miss the chat from Friday night, you can always watch it on Saturday. We upload that for you on Saturdays. And of course, on Sunday, the Milwaukee Lions play. On Monday, we upload that to the website so you can download it and listen. So the Milwaukee Lions this weekend are playing the Utah Flaming Cavalry. That'll be at Duckworth Memorial Stadium. Another home game, and it will be available for download on Monday. Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison calling all of the phantasmic and the fantabulous stuff, man. They're from Duckworth Memorial. So it's a weekend just jam full of grooviosity, man. Check it out. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Our BSP only shows on Saturday. And then, of course, we have our Milwaukee Lion game on Sundays and available for download on Monday.
Got me thinking, Shawnee, right?
I don't know, what do you say it's available for download? Why is that?
About the creep life.
Because the Milwaukee Lions, they give the rights to the live broadcast to Wang Radio.
Oh, for God's sake. That's really the...
Yeah, call Wang.
I know it's called Wang.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. I'm a line Robert Green. Look, guys, I don't want to have a big thing. Bob, go ahead and lay it on me, and then, Margaret, you can give us, you know, your opinion.
I'm Robert, I don't disagree with you, all right? I'm just wondering where you're coming from with this defense of these people.
Well, look, at you work in the entertainment business, so you say, and I believe you. I'm not, you know, denying that. So I guess that means you have, you know, why wouldn't you defend them?
Because I believe in the law, as Phil was saying, and the law says that the beach is a public place.
All right, imagine then, okay, it's a public place. So I'm one of the biggest names in Hollywood, and I get up in the morning and I go into the kitchen and I'm going to make myself some eggs and maybe make some French toast, I don't know. Just a normal Saturday morning, I get up, I gave the maid the day off or whatever, and so I get up and I go into the kitchen. I'm one of the biggest names in Hollywood, so I don't necessarily, you know, I'm not all that good at making French toast. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm cracking eggs, I'm slopping stuff all over the place. And meanwhile, while I'm slopping everything around and I'm fumbling for trying to get a handle on how to make French toast and maybe even just butter a piece of bread, some guy is out on the beach taking shots of me with his iPhone, taking picture after picture. You know, you can put it on burst now, Phil. You know that, don't you, Phil?
What?
You can put it on burst.
Yes, you can put it on burst. You can take 7 photographs at once.
Yeah. So a guy's out on the beach Well, one of the biggest names in Hollywood.
Yes, yes, yes. One of the biggest names in Hollywood is slapping his...
Jeez. Didn't talk about the guy slapping a French toast.
That's exactly right. And then the next thing you see on the front page of the National Enquirer is you with all kinds of sloppy egg dripping off the front of you, looking at the cameraman like, huh? And this is, see, this is what I mean. Now, if this guy works for the National Enquirer, and you come downstairs and you got everything hanging out, because we all do this, and the Enquirer gets a big full frontal shot of you, nude as the day is long, all kinds of pubic hair.
Okay, Bob, we get it, man.
All right, but you understand what I'm saying.
I understand that what you're saying is an invasion of privacy, shooting pictures of people in their home, and all of that is something that can be dealt with through the courts.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah. You know that the National Enquirer regularly slanders and defames people, and they're always betting that no one's going to sue them. Every time somebody does sue them, they generally lose, so they go, oh, well, you know, that's a retraction. They don't lose any money. It's, you know, it's six or one half of the other. It's like this. They make more fans. They got more friends half the time. Forget it. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here.
I know what you're saying. You're saying that because they simply throw so much against the wall, shall we say.
Exactly, yeah. And they just wait to see what'll stick.
Well, you better watch what you're saying, man, because the Enquirer might have something to say about that. Look, the law says that the beach is a public beach. And a lot of these people are putting up signs that say it's private. They're hiring security guards.
Right, they're hiring security guards. And as of last week in the article that I read in the L.A. Times, a woman was sitting on the beach. The security guard said, get lost. She said, why don't you get lost? And he came back with a cop. Oh, that's got to hurt.
Yes, he came back with a cop. I'd like to meet that police officer, to be honest with you, and find out exactly what law that man was applying there to kick people off of a public beach.
Well, I guess he's applying the law, because that's who he is. He's the law. He's John Law. See? The law.
Yes, yes, the law. John Law. I don't know, Phil. What do you think of that?
I saw the same article. I don't know what he's doing either. It could very well be that the beach that this woman was sitting on, a piece of the beach the woman was sitting on, might have been a little too close to the back door, you know?
Well, what about that?
What do you mean the back door?
I mean the house.
Well, I don't know, but I'll...
Well, what about that? What about the fact that there may be protections in place already?
I am here to tell you that as a homeowner and some of the big... Well, okay.
Some of the biggest names in Hollywood.
Yeah, and I live next door to Rodman. At which I guess you don't think that's a big deal, right? Right, Phil?
Bob, come on, man.
Dennis Rodman, is that the man that played basketball?
Yeah, I played basketball. There's a lady I'm talking to on the phone.
Bob, talk to us.
Sorry. Yeah, Dennis Rodman won the NBA title with the Detroit Pistons. One of the biggest stars in basketball.
All right, so you live next door to that man, and who else?
And who else? You know who I live next door to? Do you remember the movie? Do you remember that kid named Pidge? The character was named Pidge in the movie Suddenly about Frank Sinatra wanting to kill the president? You remember the little kid?
Yeah.
I live next to that guy. He's now I think he's a dentist or something.
Okay, you know, I mean.
Okay, that's not big enough, huh?
Who's the guy?
The guy that was the little kid named Pidge in a movie where Frank Sinatra wants to blow.
Wants to blow the president?
No, he wants to assassinate the character.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, I know the film, yes. Well, that young man is actually, now a man of advanced years. He's a dermatologist, I believe.
Oh, well, all right. I live next door to him, and I don't know what he does. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what does he do?
I don't know. I think he was a dentist.
My understanding was a dermatologist.
Well, I think that's wrong, but I don't really know.
Okay, good. And this whole interview has been nothing more than you guys going back and forth about who knows who and what knows what. Well, I don't think, you know, to be fair, I think Margaret's been trying to make the point.
No, I don't think Margaret's been trying. I said to Margaret that some of the biggest things, you guys, you don't want me to say the biggest names in stage and star and screen, the biggest names in television and stage and screen and television.
Look at Bob. I understand.
No, but you understand that.
Yes, yes. I understand as the biggest names are out there in Hollywood. Okay?
No, Malibu, man. There's no... What beaches in Hollywood?
I understand that. But the bigger issue that we're talking about, and you have not addressed it, is the law.
All right. The L.A. sheriff went out there and told that woman and the kid, get your shoes, get your chair, get your picnic basket. You know, like the guy, Yogi Berra? Is that it?
No, that's Yogi Bear on a cartoon.
Yeah, remember when he used to go, hey, here comes the, what was the guy's name? I was the ranger. Yeah, I was the ranger, the picnic basket.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I'm saying is, when the sheriff came out, he says, you, get your shoes, get your chair, get your shaving lotion, not shaving, get your, what's the stuff?
You mean the suntan lotion?
Yeah, get your suntan lotion, get your sandwiches, get your picnic basket, you know, Yogi, and, you know, get your ass and get off my beach!
Don't hang up.
I'm pretending to hang up. Why can't we hang up?
Because I don't want people hanging up anymore in this show.
I just think that right there is the law.
All right, I got to tell you, you got me on that one.
Oh, so you admit it. You better believe I got you on that one.
You do. You have me on that one. I don't understand why that sheriff told that woman to leave when, in point of fact, there is no private beach in California. Now, this is something I've known for years, and this latest situation there in Malibu, where they're doing it again, they're putting up signs saying private beach, this, that, is really not too cool, you know?
Well, look, Phil, you got out there, and I know you don't want me to say some of the biggest names in Hollywood, so let me just say, Jay-Z, Dr. Dre, the other guy, you know, all of these guys, Buddy Ebsen, well, I don't think he's still alive, Rip Taylor.
Rip Taylor, is he still alive?
I don't, he may be, I don't think he lives there. I'm trying to come up with names.
Oh, it's just some of the big names.
Yeah, you know, Tom Hanks, okay. Jimmy Stewart, well, Jimmy Stewart's dead. Well, when Jimmy Stewart was alive, it would appear, it would seem that, it seems to me he'd be living there. Okay, and Spencer Tracy, and he's dead too.
Anybody alive living out there?
Yes. God, what a, Rob Reiner.
Okay, so we found a living, breathing human being that lives out there.
There are way many more. There's a lot of them, and they're on the move. All of the great stars that have given us so much joy are on the move, and they're saying to the public, you know, I just made a nice TV show for you. I made a movie. Go watch that. Don't be staring in my bedroom window while I got my underwear. I just think...
I think you are imagining some very vulgar and crude scenes because you think it's funny.
No, I do not think it's funny. I think it's an invasion of privacy. Well, one of the biggest names in Hollywood...
Yes.
All right. ...is standing there, and he's pulling his briefs up after doing what any married man would do with a wife, okay?
And why is the window open?
Because it faces the beach, hello.
And there's people on the beach.
Not legally. Yeah, not legally. So he's pulling his briefs up, his wife's reaching for a cigarette, and here comes Charlie Brown with his little iPhone going click, click, and going, hey. I think it's disgusting and something.
You laughing?
Am I laughing? No, I'm trying to stop crying. I'm crying.
Bob, there's something wrong with this because I don't know why you'd care.
Because I live on the beach. Because I know what celebrity is about, and because, despite what Ms. Gray says, I think I know the law. And I am fighting the good fight as a businessman. And as a man who serves a great many of these people, I think that when we respect these class lines, it makes us all better people.
You didn't say I'm Bob Green.
I didn't say what?
You didn't say I'm Bob Green.
So what?
Yeah, so what?
Well, because Bud went yay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm Bob Green.
Yay!
God damn. God, you people are weird.
All right, Bob, thank you very much. Okay.
What are you laughing at?
So, what do you think?
What do I think about what?
What do you think about what he said?
What he said, there's nothing that Bob Green said that makes any sense at all. Even if he was right, even if he was saying things that were technically correct, he talks like a Martian, you know?
Yeah, that right there, I think you nailed it. When Bob Green comes on, he talks English.
Yeah, he talks English, but the words don't go together good.
Well, what does that mean?
I mean, it means that Bob Green talks like the idiot from outer space.
Forget it.
Well, Phil, I don't think it's polite to laugh.
All right, we're going to be back here. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Don't forget Phil Hendry at the LA Podfest this weekend. Make sure you use your coupon code.
What happened?
I swallowed the wrong way.
That's what she said.
God, Miss Gray, that was not very ladylike.
No, that was not very ladylike.
Oh, my God, so I don't get to do the joke.
Hold on for a minute. Don't forget Phil Hendry at the PodFest this coming weekend. Use your coupon code Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. That's Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. That's Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. That's Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
Yeah, that's Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
It's Hendry, H-E-R-I-D. I don't understand that.
No, it's not itchy. It's H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
Oh, it sounded like Hendry, itchy.
Yeah, I know.
All right, folks, what is this, bud?
It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's called well, I forget now. It's called, get your freak on.
Get your freak on. Oh, here is Missy Elliott. She doesn't want no one-minute man. Well, I thought all women wanted a one-minute man. All right, welcome back here to the program. I think it's a very interesting discussion. I think it's one that bears much analization, as we like to say. But
I don't like that word, by the way, and I know you're trying to be funny, but in the, I would say, in the process of attempting to get some privacy, I think the way to get privacy is to buy an estate or to buy some land or to buy a lot or what have you and secure that lot. But on a beach, it's all public land.
Well, I understand, and I'm not taking Bob Green's place, but he does have a point when he says a guy is going about his business.
You know, Bob Green thinks that every movie star that lives at Malibu, every time someone's on the beach and they look into the guy's house, the guy's got his underwear down.
Shit. Yeah, but see, what do you think so funny?
Just cracks me up that, you know, Bob Green thinks that every time someone looks into the home of a movie star, the dude has either just gotten done having sex with his wife, or he's making French toast, or he's doing something that is potentially embarrassing. I suppose we are all doing something that's potentially embarrassing if someone had a camera stuck in our faces, so...
Well, now, who's going to put a camera into the normal, into the everyman's house, you know?
No one, I guess, but we're all, I think... one of the things that I think is you know, that bothers me, and yes, I'm going to do a speech here, General.
All right, I just, you know...
You know, I get to talk, too.
No one said that you can talk, but when you do talk, it's...
It's kind of rough.
Yeah, okay, well... forget it.
I'm going, Mr. Henry.
I was going to say... this idea that we have cameras that are shoved up the asses of everyone.
My God, Phil.
Well, that's right. And the people holding the cameras are not government agents. They're not spies. They're not cops. They're regular people like you and I. We're spying on each other. We got cameras shoved in bedroom windows. We've got cameras that are, through the back doors of people's houses. And it isn't just the celebrities, man. It's just everybody. Everybody is spying on everybody. I think it's funny. I mean, it cracks me up. All this bullshit about how Big Brother is this, that, and something else. The real Big Brother is the average guy. I mean, nobody would have predicted that. No one would have said that. They would have said, well, maybe there'll be a totalitarian state or there'll be anarchy. I don't think anybody predicted the sort of dictatorship of... You remember this thing they used to say, the dictatorship of the proletariat?
Yeah, that's what the communists used to say.
Yes, that was a phrase from Lenin.
Yeah. Well, he meant the dictatorship of the average man. But in America, in Western society, we have this dictatorship of the citizen, where we are, spying on people with our cameras, and we're taking photographs that we shouldn't be taking. I mean, all of the privacy violations that we accuse the government of, we do ourselves. I'm Phil Hendry.
Yay! Oh, big deal.
Yeah, well... Famous Phil Hendry Show. This sounds like Michael Jackson, is that it?
Nah, it's some bullshit. It's Meek Mill.
All right. Oh, my God, Phil.
Oh, it's just some horse shit. I don't know. All right, folks, welcome back to our program. Always nice to have you with us. Stephen Bozell is here, and Steve is going to be with us at the PodFest, and we're very, very happy to have him on the line.
Well, we haven't heard from Steve in a while.
Yeah, I got Mr. Bozell on the line right now here.
Hey, Steve, it's good to talk with you, buddy. How are you?
Yes, sir. Doing good, Mr. Henry. I'm up with my daughter, April Jr., and with my son, Steve Jr. I'm taking him over to 3-par today.
And, oh, you're going to play some golf, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to take him over to the 3-par and teach them how to play golf. I go to 3-par because it's the shorter, and I do good on it, and I think the kids will enjoy it very, very, very much.
Do you play a lot of golf?
No, I don't play golf at all, but I do love, and I always have loved the 3-par. I like to putt. I like to pitch and putt.
Well, you don't. So you don't play the actual 18 holes.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't think you have to. I don't think you have. I don't think you should be forced to go out onto those big. You mean on the big one? Is that what you mean?
Well, yes, sir. I don't know what you mean by the big one.
Talk about that big golf course.
Yeah, the big golf course is. I don't think you should be forced to go out there and go through all kinds of hell. Living hell on earth, you know, to say you play golf. I've been out a couple times on a big green area, and
that's the golf course that everybody's talking about, Steve.
No, I know that. I know that, but that is, I don't let anyone push me out onto that course, because that is hell on earth, and I have been there, and they look at you, and you try to hit the ball good, and you wind up popping it up in the air. I was on that golf course a couple of times over here at Rancho. I forget what it's called. Rancho Bingo Bango Bongo, something like that. And
what was the name of the course?
It was one of the local LA courses.
Right.
And I went out, and it was big and green, and they had all the sand trout. I was out there with Cliff Pettigrew and Roy Hutchins, and we were out with one of the pros that Roy knows, a guy by the name of Dave Hepberry. And
Dave Hepberry?
No, Dave Hepberry.
Dave Hepberry, okay.
Yeah, and Roy plays good, and so does Pettigrew, and so does this guy Hepberry. He's a pro, and I've got a... You know, it's just tough, man.
And you didn't hit it well. Look at it, I've been there. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You know, you got a million guys looking at you, and all of a sudden you forget how to swing. And
yeah, and I popped it up in the air, and it came down. I hear, you know, people are trying to be polite, but I could hear them in the background going, you know. And I turned around. I said, hey, you know what? You guys, you could take this club and this ball, and let's just see how far up there I can go ahead and put it. And they're all, hey, what's got into you?
Well, you don't want to react angrily. So anyway, let's get off of that, and let's talk about the Podfest, huh?
Yeah, the Podfest, Bill. Well, I'll be up there with you, right?
Yeah, Steve is going to be there. We're going to have a number of people. Margaret, didn't you say you'd be out?
Yes, it's in Beverly Hills. I think it's close. I think we can make it over there. We've got two luncheons to go to and a baby shower. And then Frank, I think, has a meeting with his tax man. But yes.
Well, I think I'll be there, too.
Yeah, me too.
I might be there, too.
All right, well, then we're going to have a full house.
All right, well, so does that mean it cuts down on my time? Because I've been doing a lot of the different jokes and everything.
Are you going to be doing... You're not going to do your stand-up act, are you?
Oh, man, what's that mean, dude? I mean,
Hold on. Steve, I just wanted to say, and General put it a very bad way, I'd love for you to do your stand-up, but maybe you could do some jokes other than, you know... the guy with no arms and no legs.
The guy with no arms and no legs is a standard part of my act and has been for quite some time. And to say that, and by the way, Phil, when the fat Jew, I found out the fat Jew was stealing the no arms and no legs jokes.
What is the no arms and no legs jokes? I'm a...
No, that's the one where, like, what do you call a guy laying in a pile of leaves that don't have no arms or no legs?
I don't know what.
Russell.
You've never heard those?
Oh, here's another one.
I think I remember those jokes.
Yeah, well, those are key element of my act.
Those are juvenile schoolyard jokes.
Oh, boy.
Steve, keep it together here, okay? Keep it together, Steve, okay?
You can do this, Steve. Now, come on.
Just take some deep breaths.
Okay.
Now, don't get so hurt every time someone criticizes you. I've been telling you this, okay? All right, so Steve's going to be there with me, and we'll do an interview. We'll make it easy, Steve. I'll talk to you.
I'd like to do that, Mr. Ernie. I think it's better than me standing up there and everything, because it's like when you're on the golf course and you do a stand-up act. It's like standing on the golf course, and you're not on a three-par. You're not doing pitch and putt. You're not on miniature golf. You're on a big one. And when I say on a big one, you know.
Well, that sounds. You don't want to say that.
Well, are you kidding? Do you think I'm?
But I don't understand.
Yeah, he said he's on a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? You guys are morons, you know?
No, I don't want to say I'm riding a big one, because...
You guys are morons. And, Steve, if you are actually taking that seriously, you're a moron, too.
God, what did I do wrong?
Well, it's very interesting how everything is a double entendre. And I think it's because of your association with these two clowns that are sitting directly across from me here, Bud and Robert. They're two numbskulls, and...
That was great. I didn't do anything.
You turn everything into a sexual innuendo.
Well, they said if I go out and I say that I'm on a big one, they said people will I guess they think penis.
All right, I want to stop this nonsense once and for all.
What did I do?
Did you and him and you, Robert, with everything's on a penis, everything's sex.
Exactly, everything you say.
Why don't you guys grow up or just leave the studio?
God damn, man. All I'm trying to do is my job.
You're not doing your job. Both of you guys.
Well, and see, and that embarrassed me. And it made me want to not go out. It made me not even want to go to the bar bed.
All right, well, it's going to be fine. And we look forward to having you out there with us, Steve. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll meet people. And we hope that...
Think people will show up?
I hope so. I mean, I haven't really promoted it here. Well, we've tried to promote it here on the pod. I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of people there.
Oh, Phil, I can't imagine. There'll be a lot of people. There are a lot of people attending the PodFest anyway. And I'm sure a lot of people want to get a good long look at you and whatever it is.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what. Talk about people taking pictures of a guy with his underwear halfway down his ass.
Jesus.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, Mr. Henry, I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna bring up. Well, I probably won't bring April. I probably won't bring April. I won't.
Don't bring the kids.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Don't bring the kids. It's a pretty adult event, I think, in terms of material. But my very best to the family.
Well, thank you, sir, and we look forward to being on the on a Phil Henry PodFest at the Pod Festival.
There he is, Steve Bozell. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, man, that's a sweet thing. Stephen Bozell. Now, we do have Bobby Dooley standing by to talk about this quote, Margaret. Can you tell me what that is?
What do you mean? It's not a quote. It's something that I originated, and then I found out that someone else had said it, and Dooley had made a remark on Twitter that I found to be vulgar. I found it to be crude, rude, filthy, and despicable. Other than that...
God.
Yes, that's right.
Well, what was it?
I said, if women are a mystery, men are a crime story. She came back and said, you didn't originate that. And I said, excuse me. And she said, you're getting that from a lady what said it. I mean, her writing is atrocious.
Well, wait a minute. What is so crude and rude about that?
She's... What do you mean, what is so crude? She's inferring that I'm a liar... A thief and a crawling piece of garbage, basically.
Margaret, you know what? If she says you didn't originate that, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a liar, a thief, and a crawling piece of garbage. I think you gotta just chill the hell out. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with our good friend Bobby Dooley. Margaret Gray with us.
Well, I don't know what you're talking
about. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Leonard here reminding you that our YouTube channel is The Real Bud Dickman. That's youtube.com, The Real Bud Dickman. Go on over there and check out all the different videos that we have for you. Take a look at full shows now, man. Full show, full video cast. See how it's done. See what Phil look like. All that, yeah.
Dream that the world changed.
Don't forget, come out to LA Podcast Festival, man. LA Podfest on Saturday.
It's an old saying.
That's right. It's our YouTube channel, The Real Bud Dickman channel at youtube.com. And, of course, we'll be there Saturday at the L.A. PodFest. So just kind of keeping you abreast and up to the minute and up to date. And, by the way, for people who've been asking about Milwaukee Lions gear, we do have a shirt in the works. It's going to be ready to go before, obviously, before season's end. Should be ready to go before the holidays. So that's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I think a lot of people, the Milwaukee Lion, is that it?
Milwaukee Lions.
Now, you know, there's a, are you going to keep playing that music?
No, I'll turn it off.
Okay, I'm sorry, there is a, you know, there's such a thing as the Milwaukee Lions, as in the Lions Club.
I understand that, yes.
And you don't think there'll be confusion?
No, I don't. I mean, one's a football team, and the other is a, you know...
Yeah, the Lion, what's the Lions Club?
Well, it's like a social... organization.
Yeah, it's a fraternal organization. The Lions Club does great work. The Rotary Club.
What's that?
You never heard of the Rotary Club?
The Rotary Club and the Lions Club and the Kiwis. What's it called?
It's called the Kiwanis, not the Kiwis.
Yeah, the Kiwanis.
What's that?
Well, will you just listen, bud? These are groups of people, business people generally, who get together and do things to benefit their communities. It is, they do altruistic things. Don't ask me what that is, I'll tell you. an altruistic effort is something that is done for charitable reasons.
So in other words, the people don't have to pay for anything.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have to pay for anything, man. The point is that the Kiwanis, the Rotary, the Lions Club, all of these clubs, the Shriners, have you heard of them?
Yeah,
you did. The Shriners, man, you were laughing your ass off that one year.
Oh, so are those the guys that wear the hat, that they wear the cone on their head, and they ride around on a miniature bike?
Yes, those are the Shriners.
Those guys are a riot.
Yeah, well, they're part of a fraternal organization, too. They're not quite the same as the Kiwanis or any of those guys.
Why do you want to keep calling it the Kiwis, Phil? It's the Kiwi. It's the Kiwini. Now, see, I forgot.
It's called the Kiwanis.
The Kiwanis.
Yes, that's it. You were butchering it so bad, we all forgot.
Yes, of course, it's my fault.
All right, Phil, don't feel like you're a victim.
No.
So that's what it is, bud. Any other questions?
No, I just want to know what it was. That's all.
Okay, so the Milwaukee Lions.
That's the football team, though.
Yeah, that's the football team, but there's a Milwaukee Lions Club, meaning there's a Lions Club in Milwaukee, and they call themselves, or I believe they go by the name of the Milwaukee Lions, or maybe the Milwaukee Lions Club, I don't know.
Well, you can get around by simply saying the Milwaukee Lions Football Club, or the Milwaukee Lions Football Organization.
Yes, that's probably what they already do.
Now, I would think that when they incorporated, they did that so as not to run afoul of the Milwaukee Lions. You know, the guys that are sitting in a whatever they do, sitting in their lodge.
Yes.
All right. So thank you. That's great, man. We got Bobby Dooley on the line with us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. She's going to be talking to us this segment about this quote that Margaret was filling us in on. And Bobby, a very pleasant good afternoon.
Yes, Phil. And hello, Margaret.
Yes, Bobby. Hello.
All right, so what was it that Margaret, we already know what that she wrote was that if a woman is a mystery, then a man is a crime story.
Yes, Phil, that was something.
I got it right here, too.
My husband has the quote. We won't mention the book, but it was a book in which one of the principals said if she was quoting her husband, who said to her, if women are a mystery, men are a crime story. It's right there.
Right here, Mr. Henry's on page 3 of it.
Get off the phone there, man.
Get off the phone.
Just tell him to...
Page 5.
Yeah, it's right here.
All right, so it's in your little book. So what?
So I said to you on Twitter, Margaret, you didn't originate that. Well, wait a minute, what am I doing on the phone with you? You get out of here. I'll get out when I'm good and ready.
Margaret, will you get out of the phone?
Sorry.
So you said to me on Twitter, the lady didn't... you didn't invent that.
No, I said... You didn't come up with that. A lady did.
Yes.
Well, what was so rude about that?
I thought it was crude and rude for you to go, yee-yee-yee. The tone of the tweet. I understand that you were saying something that perhaps is essentially true. I didn't know, I can tell you this right now, that I thought up that quote. If someone else thought it up, great.
So, Margaret, you're saying independent of that woman...
Yes, independent of her, I thought up, if a woman is a mystery, a man is a crime story.
Well, all right, I won't debate that with you. But I said to you, you didn't think that up. And you go, what? You know.
Well, what was the nature of your tweet? It was so rude and filthy.
What was filthy about that?
It was filthy because...
Margaret, all I said was you didn't think that up, and you think that's filthy.
It was a filthy, disgusting slap to my face in front of everyone in the tweet... In the tweet zone, or whatever they call it.
In the Twitter.
Yes, in the Twitter. And I said to you, you dirty, crude slut, and...
I say, I don't know how it is that I warranted that.
Why is she a dirty, crude slut? Because she said to you, you didn't think that up.
Because she's embarrassing me! What is wrong with you people?
Margaret, look.
She was embarrassing me.
Margaret, I have a right on Twitter. The rules of Twitter say that you have the right.
You have the right to do what?
Yeah, what do you mean?
You have the right to say, hey, you're wrong and stuff.
Yes, you have the right to say, hey, you're wrong.
Yeah, my God, I found it here on page 5, Mr. Henry.
That's great, Mr. Dooley.
Mr. Bozell, oh, man, he just called you Bozell.
What? God.
Phil, that's a slam. That is a slam. You might as well have said to him, hi, Steve, how do you enjoy being a eunuch?
Don't hang up.
I'm faking it.
I think that if I had said what I said, which was that women are, if women are a mystery, then men are a crime story, and you knew that it had been quoted in another book, you could have said, Margaret, that's very interesting. I read the same quote, or gone perhaps not public and said something to me privately. But to go public with it makes me look like I'm dangling from the asshole tree. Excuse my language.
Oh, my God. You know...
Well, it does. It makes me look as if I'm another ornament on the messed up jack...
On a jackball tree.
I'm another ornament on the jackball tree, yes.
Margaret, it was not my intention to embarrass you.
But I'm going to say something here, okay?
I'm not finished.
Go ahead.
Steve, would you please put up some kind of a windbreak? All right, I'm cold.
Yes, honey.
I'm very cold. Steve?
I'm going to get it.
Hold on, Phil. Steve's putting up a windbreak.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean a windbreak?
You don't know what a windbreak is? Wow.
What are you doing? We're interviewing you.
I know, but Steve... Thank you. Phil, first of all, I don't have a problem with Margaret. If she thought it up, she thought it up. But I do reserve the right to say, oh, you're saying you thought it up, but I've seen somebody else use it.
You've seen somebody else use it. I think it's publicly humiliating. And again, as I said, when you say that, you make me look like just one more dingleberry on life's ass.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, Margaret's now crying.
That's right!
I'm very sorry, Margaret.
Well, let me say this, Bobby. I don't blame you for pointing it out to her, but Margaret is very torn up about this.
About this?
Yeah, General, what's wrong with you?
Nothing wrong compared to you, Dooley. I'm Jesus. Compared to you, I'm Hercules.
God, man.
All right, thank you very much, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, Mr. Jerry, I don't know how you're patient for the things what happened today on this show. Just so weird and messed up and everything.
Well, thank you very much, Bud, for that vote of confidence, I think. I can just simply say, come on in here, Margaret, will you?
Yes.
I believe that you thought it up and it was in the book. Who cares? It's a really cool quote.
I thought it was a very cool quote, but for her to come in and say, I said it is big, I don't want to use it ever again. I rue the day that I thought of it. I'd like to gouge my own brain from my skull forever thinking it up. For the pain it's given me. Margaret Gray.
Yay!
Yes, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One. I'm General Galen Shaw, and remember, don't fuck with me.
Gee, thanks, General. You're welcome.